Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney, you're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
So hi, and welcome to this FX Podcast. I'm Mike Seymour.
Hey, and I'm Jeff Huser. We're here on the show floor today.
Now, it will get a bit quieter later in the show as we move to different locations, but the show is open here in Sidgraph, and we're actually down on the show floor in the middle of all the G.I. Joe, Star Trek, Oz, everyone's showreel with Avengers.
It's just skateboarding, tracking markers.
Yeah, motorbikes and the rest of it. It's kind of crazy. I don't know, I'm getting a mixed message from people as I walk around, whether or not it's busy or not. What's your impression?
Feels pretty good. Feels busy to me.
I think it's pretty good, but I think it can be a little patchy in places, so we'll just have a look at that.
Yeah.
We've got some cool stuff coming up later in this podcast. What we're going to try and do is jump around a little and just hook up with people on the show floor, just have a quick chat to people. Also, as people keep on stopping us to say hello, we're going to try and grab some of those and just talk to people that have just turned up from all over the world here at SIGGRAPH 2013 for what is, I think, without a doubt, the most interesting graphics conference in the world.
Yeah, that session this morning we went to, the John Knoll-led Pacific Rim session, was amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, there was four guys there. It was Hal was there. There was a ton of people. It was it's just a difficult thing to appreciate the complexity of a show Pac Rim until it gets stopped and played out in layers and you can start piecing it together.
Yeah, I was really enjoying the one where the last guy was breaking down the layers of the composites for one of those shots of the giant robots walking into the water. That was amazing, how many passes and the complexity involved in it these days.
Yeah, so we'll have a talk about that more later in the show, but let's see who we can find out here on the show floor.
So I'm here with Zap. How are you, sir?
Oh, still alive.
So what have you seen at the show that you liked?
I've seen a bunch of interesting papers, but I was this morning, the Pacific Rim talk, I really enjoyed that. Unluckily for me, it hasn't opened in Sweden yet, so I'm just jumping up and down like a giddy schoolboy to see the movie now. And it opens on Friday in Sweden, so I'll basically fly home and jump off the plane and into the theaters.
Yeah, it certainly was pretty impressive, the amount of work that went into an individual shot, but I was particularly amused at John Knoll running through what went wrong.
Yes.
When they had one of the scenes that was shot as a miniature. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, so they're trying to do this shot of a giant robot fist punching in through an office window and crashing a bunch of things, and they decided to do this as a miniature. And due to the budget constraints, they were doing a one take. They built this thing, they were going to crash it, and that was it. When they broke it, they broke it. They didn't have any more. So they set it up. They had run a few tests without the things that's going to break, make sure that the fist puppet does what it should and the camera does what it should. And then they make the shot, and it doesn't. It stops halfway. The camera does its beautiful move, but when you watch through the camera, you see this fist crashing a bunch of things, and then the fist thing, it just stops, and the camera just keeps panning. Yeah, that was funny. So they had to redo what they cannot redo. So they rebuilt what they kind of could and ran it again. But of course, the roof was already crashed up, so they had to patch it together in stereo. It was funny, very funny.
I think one of the really interesting things also is just the complexity of the interacting sims, because it's one thing to have a water sim. It's another thing to have rigid body sims that interact with water sims that in turn produce spray that then has to feed back into another sim.
Exactly. They were basically showing, oh, here's the large-scale simulation. On that falls all the small-scale particles, which falls with the dust. And there's dust from him and dust from her and etc. So, yeah, it was quite intimidating. I don't know how many different passes they have, and they have to glue them together afterwards. It was beautiful work.
So Autodesk doesn't actually have a booth here, does it? But they're having a huge user group party that should be very good.
There is. It's tonight. And I actually don't know what's going to happen there. I'm ridiculously uninformed, so I can't really tell you anything interesting about it. Sorry.
So what are you up to at the moment anyway? What are you actually working on in terms of having moved over from Mental Images, as it were, to Autodesk?
So I'm dealing with rendering inside 3ds Max on kind of a higher level, in a sense. So it's no longer that I work specifically with Mental Ray. Of course, since I know Mental Ray a lot, it ends up being a lot of working on Mental Ray still. But it's more generally rendering. And we're doing some forward-looking work in that area, which I can't go into much specifics, but it's going to be you know, the rendering situation will hopefully be able to be easier to plug a renderer into Max in the future, and especially to make a render interactive in Max in the future. Stuff like that is that we're looking at.
So, Jeff, you've just literally, as this second, walked out of the panel, the first of the two business panels that we talked about. What was it like?
Well, it was titled From Golden Statue to Pink Slip, A Conversation on the State of the Industry. It was from 11 o'clock until about to 1 o'clock, so it was a long session. And it was Bill Gilman, an artist, Tom Cito, who wrote the book The History of the Animation Guilds, who I have interviewed previously on an FX podcast. It was Steve Kaplan from 839, organizer. Mariana, from who's been involved with a lot of the FX town halls, as has Bill. And it was David Cohen was there. So it was a good panel. It was interesting to me that there was a lot of topics to cover, and the predominant topic by far was union and artist conditions and workers. Very contentious. I would say I was a little frustrated because...
You seem to be picking your words carefully.
Well, I was a little frustrated because, you know, as you know, we've been covering this quite extensively for quite a while.
Yeah.
In fact, everybody on that panel pretty much has been interviewed on an FX podcast at great length.
Yeah.
We've written about it. We've done stories. There's been a lot of information out there on all of these subjects, and I keep hearing the same things over and over again from artists. I keep hearing, well, we should form an organization that's like a union, but it's not a union. And then you start going, well, what is that going to be? What does that mean? You have no bargaining power. You have no leverage. You have no power. And then it's like, we need a global solution. Well, that's beyond any of our power. Singapore, somebody stood up and said, Singapore bans explicitly unions. It's illegal. So how can we can't solve that. You know, there's a lot of issues. But people were definitely passionate. People were saying things like they know a lot of friends who are leaving the industry. Who don't want to move, who don't want to do this global gypsy thing. It was an interesting panel. I just feel like there's a lot of resources out there, not just ours, but in general, to Scott Squires' blog. Scott Squires was the other guy on the panel, I'm sorry. How can I forget Scott Squires?
But, I mean, I guess the question is, was there a lot of interest? I mean, was the session full?
Packed, standing room only.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really
How big was that room? Was it like the 300 person size room?
Yeah, I would say so. 200
people.
So
like the open source one?
Yeah. Okay. About that size.
All right, well, that's
a
good
turnout. Yeah, it was a good crowd, and people were really... It was a good, informal, not recorded session for people to just kind of talk openly.
Okay.
There was a wide range of people there, a lot of artists. They had a little show of hands at some point, and there were some executives and a lot of artists, a lot of students.
But you felt that you were covering the same ground?
There was a lot of covering the same ground, and there was a lot of questions asked that I feel that if people were paying more attention and were doing some actual taking advantage of resources that are out there, the answers could have been there. But this is one of my problems with this whole issue. I'm involved in the daily minutiae of this because of what we do and me having to pay attention to all these issues. And so, to me, I get frustrated when I hear the same questions. And to the credit of people like Scott Squires and Steve Kaplan and everybody in that who's been very vocal in this whole conversation, they have the patience to understand that this is a long discussion about all these issues and that you just have to keep going back and forth and going over the same ground. You have to keep explaining it because people just need to be told.
Okay, well, that was that the session that you had to have a badge to get into?
That was the one you had to... It was just an exhibitor badge. The one on Thursday...
So how's that going to be different? Is it going to just be the same
again? Well, the panel changes. It is going to be very similar, I have a feeling. The panel's going to be a little different because they add Scott Ross and they remove a couple and they add... The lawyer is going to Skype in who did the... David Yosis, who we did the interview with on the countervailing duties.
But if somebody went to this one, you don't think they'd really need to go to the next one, or they do?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, Scott Ross is always interesting and always makes the panel lively. So, I would say the big surprise at this panel was David Cohen from Variety was on the panel. And, you know, he had a lot of really good observations on just the state of the world we're in today in general. That this is not... Some of these issues that are squeezing visual effects have nothing to do with visual effects. It's the way the system is being worked globally in a lot of industries. And you know, he made some really good points and brought up some documentaries that people should check out. And, he was really interesting, I thought.
Hmm. Okay.
So it was worth going to. It was interesting. There's a lot of passion, I would say. There's a lot of heat. And you can tell people are just angry. And so really, that was kind of the vibe, I would say. People were angry and trying to figure out how to move forward. It's just it was an interesting dynamic.
Hey, Adam, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
So how are you finding SIDGRAPH?
I love it. It's my first time, and I'm having a blast.
So what have you seen so far?
Well, so far I've done a bunch of courses, but the most notable talk that I went to was about deep compositing yesterday, where I had a real ball. In fact, I was informed about it by the FX Guide episode about Star Trek Into Darkness, which is why I went there.
Yeah, I hear that session was actually packed. They were just really surprised at how many people were there.
They seemed surprised, and it was standing room only, and so informative. And the caliber of the attendance definitely spoke to how packed it was. Whenever they made reference to a movie or a process, it seemed like there was somebody in the audience who was involved with the development of said movie or process that could speak to it directly. It was really amazing.
So what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I currently am a compositing intern at Brainstorm Digital, and I will be heading back to school in the fall for a Master's of Fine Arts in Visualization at Texas A&M.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for talking to us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So I'm here with Lucy from The Foundry. How are you?
I'm pretty good, considering.
Considering that you had a really cracking party last night.
Yeah, no, it was great. Thanks to everyone for turning up. We had lots of fun, chatted to lots of very interesting people, drank some beer, listened to some good music.
So what's your perception of the show? It's only just opened in terms of the trade show component. Obviously, it's been going for a couple of days in terms of the lectures and stuff. I have heard a couple of exhibitors say that it's quiet. You feel like it's quiet, or is it too early to tell?
It's definitely not quiet on our booth, which is great, so we're very happy about that. I haven't had a chance to walk the floor yet, so can't really comment, but lots of people coming out of papers, having had fun and seen exciting things, so hopefully it's going to be a good show.
And what's the focus? Because you've got quite a lot of products now to cover. Have you got any particular focus at the show in terms of the presentations that have been done on there?
Yeah, so a lot of our presentations are focused around more than one product because, as you say, there's a lot more to us than one product these days. So showing quite a few workflow demos, some by us, some by customers, you know, showing how people are using some of our tools together in conjunction. But also some exciting news at the show that you've already reported about Pixar RenderMan and Katana. Also, Mari is going into beta on Mac, which we announced a few weeks ago. We're also showing Flix to a degree, which, again, you reported on for us very kindly. Lots of exciting stuff with Nuke, lots of stuff from the research team, and it's our first show with Modo 701, which came out on Linux today. So that's an exciting progression for us post-merger. So lots of good stuff, lots of amazing customer demos on the booth, so come down and visit us.
Thanks, Lucy.
No problem.
So I'm here with Oliver from Cinema 4D. How are you?
You're good. How are you?
So what's happening at the show? What's new?
We're happy to announce our 15 today, so a bunch of new features, and the version will be out soon. So
I know how much interest there is from your community on that, because when we kind of commented in our rendering story about some stuff that was coming, everyone was sending me a ton of emails saying, do you know what's happening? Do you know what's happening? That woman seems really excited about the possibility of 15. What's in it?
Yeah, I would say it's the release of the users. So we put all the main requests in the release. So the top features are beveling. It's rewritten from scratch. So it's really cutting edge technology right now. What else? 3D kerning. Most of the artists are really excited about 3D kerning. And in terms of rendering, we put in light mapping, Embry, the new Intel technology to speed up our rendering process in the physical renderer, as well as caching options for ambient occlusion. The Iridian's cache we have rewritten from scratch, and this speed ups the workflow. And the biggest topic in terms of rendering is the team render. It replaces NetRender in the next versions, and this is a solution where you don't have to set things up. It's just use all the machines that are available in your network, and just use it for rendering.
So when is 15 available so people can get their hands on it?
So we will ship on September 3rd. And the subscription customers, so they, all the holders of the Maxon service agreement will get their releases at that date, and it's available for all other customers at the same date as well.
Well, good. Enjoy the show. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hi. So why are you here at SIGGRAPH?
Yeah, I'm looking at the new markerless capture for the facial head mount systems and stuff like that.
Where are you from? Where are you working?
Yeah, I'm from India, and I'm kind of having a startup there where we are looking into previs and stuff like that related to films.
Oh, so you're thinking of using the markerless capture system to fitting it into a previs pipeline?
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be really interesting. You're obviously trying to get like a bit more actual emotion into a previs by the sound of it.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, now today's directors like tend to ask for that. They're not satisfied with your regular keyframes.
And have you been to any of the papers, or are you just hitting the trade show bit?
I've been to a couple of them, not much.
And what are you finding interesting here on the show floor? Have you found anything yet?
There are a lot of these new technologies up. So I guess everyone are like in trend with these markerless facial capture today.
Excellent. Well, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you.
So I'm here with Stacey at Mr. X. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So what are you doing here, and what's this particular pavilion we're standing in?
It's the Ontario Pavilion. We have a section of the Ontario Pavilion just highlighting the work that is available in Ontario, the services that are available.
So as a company, generally, you have offices where?
We have offices, two offices, one in Toronto, Canada, and one in New York City.
And so how do you split between those two? Is it like literally they just do separate work, or are they both integrated and working across, you know, on the same projects?
We are mostly working on the same projects, but we do have, you know, projects that are exclusive to New York or exclusive to Toronto, as the case may be.
And are you recruiting here at the show?
We are. We're not actively here recruiting, but we're always looking for good people to check out our website and to see what opportunities there are currently. So check us out.
What's it like in Ontario? I haven't been there. What's it like in terms of like just as a lifestyle and stuff? It must be pretty different from your other office.
It is. I mean, New York and Toronto are very similar
are
cities.
They are?
Yeah. But you know, America and the state and Canada are different. Obviously.
See, I always think of New York as being completely different from almost anywhere else in the world, but that's interesting you should say that.
It is. I've lived in both cities, and there are quite a few similarities, much more so than, say, L.A. and Toronto. Those are two completely different cities, but, you know, both cities are walkable, meaning New York and Toronto. They're walkable, amazing transit, great, you know, bike paths and things like that. I mean, they're... To me, they're fairly similar.
And what are some of the films that you've got some stuff up here on the screens that you're showing? I see Resident Evil.
Some of the
other stuff you're doing recently.
So here we have Carrie, which we're just finishing up now. That's the remake directed by Kimberly Pierce. Then we also have the Resident Evil franchise. We worked on a few of those. Currently not on our reel, but... something that we're working on right now, which is exciting, is the RoboCop reboot. We're also heavy in production on Pompeii, which is Paul W.S. Anderson's latest disaster film about the eruption of Vesuvius in 79 AD. You know, cloud of ash covered Pompeii, and so we're working on that. That's our biggest project right now.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you.
So, Jeff, we just walked out of the Superman, Man of Steel session, which was another one of the big sessions. Now, they have an arena here for those big sessions.
Yeah, it's quite a nice room. The whole convention center here has just been a really nice setup. There's lots of good-sized rooms, and everything's been packed, too. I don't know if you've noticed that, too, Mike. Every session I've been to has been standing room only.
Yeah, yeah. It really has been, it seems to be really successful. I've got no idea on the numbers yet, but, you know, the talks have been really well subscribed. The other thing that's been really well subscribed to is all of these birds of a feathers and stuff. We've heard about a couple of them, but somebody was talking to me before about the OSL one. Now, the OSL is the Open Shader Language, and I wrote quite a lot about that in the article on FX Guide about rendering. They were saying that it was packed, and what was interesting for me is that, and I say this unofficially because I wasn't there, but I have a very reliable spy, one whole wall was lined with Autodesk people. Now, that's kind of important because, obviously, for a shader language like OSL to take off, you'd want support from Autodesk as they control Maya, 3D Max, and XSI.
Right. Yeah, even the I think that business one I went to was a Birds of the Feather panel as well. I guess the idea is they put a bunch of different people together is the idea.
Yeah, it's meant to be more informal than even a panel and less like presentations.
Right, so, well, like that one, for example, wasn't even recorded because they wanted people to talk freely right. and not worry about it getting back to out there and stuff. And they've been very strict about the photo and audio policies this year.
Yeah. But let's talk about the Man of Steel session we just came out of. I guess one of the things for me that I like is that you get tremendous before and afters and making of reels, stuff you don't really get to see almost anywhere else. The Scanline presentation had some spectacularly good before and after stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing with the compositing and, you know, showing tiling of images and stuff that they were doing for some of the scenes. And a lot of the, I thought the interesting thing was the handoffs, the number of handoffs from, you know, an actor, Superman, standing on the street, just kind of partially lifting off his heels to full CG double pan, you know, stitched pans to the next scene and then, you know, back to another actor section doing a little bit.
Now, the only trouble with it is you actually get to see stuff that you didn't notice was wrong initially.
Yes.
And I mean, this is something we should probably discuss in the context of what happens at daily reviews, because this is the same thing, right? You can see something over and over again, and then you start to pick it apart. Now, for me, there was a presentation on Man of Steel where they were showing the tornado that takes Clark Kent's father, and he's standing on an open road. The idea is that there's a sort of a tornado coming. Clark is told to take his mother over to shelter at an overpass. And the nature of the story at this point is that no one knows that Clark is Superman, because he hasn't really become Superman. He just has these extra powers. His father's very worried about him being found out and therefore being taken away from him. So even though his son is effectively fully a man, he really tells him to stay back and not to use any powers to rescue him. Whether or not that's believable, certainly in the context of the story, it feels believable. What was bugging me a little that I couldn't put my finger on when I saw it in the cinema is that they shot the tornado basically without a tornado in full sun. So the shadows and the contrast ratios on the characters was quite strong. Well, of course, when you get an overcast day, what's the first thing that goes? You get no high con. And you can't really expect a tornado and a kind of overcast day that's being seen over their shoulders to also coexist with bright sunlight. So they then sort of turn down the highlights. But you never get back that contrast ratio because you've still got dark darks and light lights. And you can bring up the darks and drop the lights, but it still looks contrast. It still looks directional in the lighting. So once you put the sky in, color corrected it as best you could, you've still got these quite dark shadows under cars and all this kind of stuff. So it's just a hard sell in a comp to pull that off.
Yeah, I haven't seen the film, I must admit, so I wasn't familiar with that scene. But now that you mention that, it did look like they shot it with a green screen outside, and I don't think there was any attempt to shade him as the tornado came.
Yeah, see, that's the trouble, isn't it? Like, it's on the day, you could have, I guess, tented them, but there was just too big an area, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's at some points five, six, seven cars in shot, you know, vast tenting exercise. I applaud them shooting it outside rather than shooting it in a studio, because that definitely worked. And I guess that's the trade-off. But, yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem quite right in the cinema. Didn't pay much attention to it because I was kind of interested in the story. Now you see it over and over and over again, which, you know, this is a point where I think we were discussing last night, which is at what point do you say, if the audience is paying attention to this, we've lost them, and what point do you pixel push and pixel fuss with an individual?
Well, and I would go as far as to say that it's actually one of the big problems in our business right now, and there's very famous supervisors who have been known to be very forceful and strong over the years of being able to say, I don't want to see it frame by frame. I don't want to, you know, I want to watch it at speed and make approvals based on that. But nowadays, you know, things live on forever and people are going to go through frame by frame on the DVDs. And there's a whole level of scrutiny that goes on beyond the approval. And it really does get complicated. When is it done?
Yes. I was interested also in Man of Steel to discover that the actor, who I really enjoyed from his roles in The Tudors, was pretty much that size. He apparently wore a minor sort of muscle suit, but he really just had worked out that much. The supervisors and people were like, pretty impressed. That guy's pretty built. But they also amusingly just mentioned in passing they shot most of the stuff without his cape. And I was reminded of that scene from the Incredibles. You know, he's like,
oh,
no
yeah.
capes.
No capes.
No capes.
Yes.
But yeah, of course, you're never going to get the cape to flutter the right way or do the right thing, and someone's just going to have to remove it and stick it back anyway.
Yeah.
But that was a pretty good panel, actually. You know, obviously people go to a lot of trouble putting those things together. It does pay off, though, when they do go to trouble putting stuff together. You get a lot more
energy. Oh, it's a lot of work. I mean, just getting the stuff organized and getting permissions, more importantly. And, you know, and that's one thing really great about SIGGRAPH is they do get special permissions because of that strict photo policy and social media policy, actually, and now. And so you do get to see stuff that you won't, like you said earlier, you won't see anywhere else, which is nice. I do love SIGGRAPH, I got to say.
Yeah, I got, you know...
It's a unique show.
I was feeling pretty tired before Superman. I was thinking, well, will I go? Maybe I'll go up to the room, get stuff organized. And I thought, well, I should drag my sorry ass there. And I was glad that I did because the papers are so good and the quality of the speakers is so good. But it is hard being in a darkened room when you're kind of exhausted and jet-lagged.
And then
Jeff to run salt... You rubbed salt in the wounds by saying, well, don't forget, you've got another whole 2 days of this.
I was like, yeah, I'm done here today because I have to go back to work, but... You've got the full boat here, so sorry about that.
We're also going to be doing some interviews with directors here at the show. We're going to focus on short films because obviously a lot of stuff happens on the big epic films. So we thought we'd pick up from the Computer Festival some interviews with directors and people that are doing stuff in the Computer Animation Festival. So we're going to put those up on FX Guide TV. We're going to record another one of those in just a minute with an Oscar-winning, actually, director who has another short film, but we've also managed to speak to the crew who did this year's Best of Show in the Animation Festival. So all of that's coming up on FX Guide TV. Well, Jeff, I've got my teapot from the Render Man.
Oh yes, what was it this year? The horns?
Horns and sort of monster feet. I actually think it's one of the best teapots they've done in years. It's a picture on the website. You can see it if you go to yesterday's, not today's. particular rundown of the show, and it has a picture in there. But look, that's it from us here from SIGGRAPH 2013. No particular news breaking today. There's been quite a few things that have been going out in the general press release circuit in terms of updates of software and stuff. But I don't think we have any like a lot of news gets broken, obviously, on the first day. The stuff that we have got, though, we're putting up and putting in our Twitter feed. So if you want to follow us, I'm at Mike Seymour.
And I'm at Neon Marg, NeonMarg.
Or, of course, you can follow us as at FX Guide News on Twitter. Thanks so much for being with us, guys.
Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by clicking the Contact Us link at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright FX Guide, LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide.